Until such men or leaders rebel so as not to recognize the supremacy of God, they are put under still more rigorous laws of the material world by different miseries. Only the foolish man therefore says that there is no God. Maharaj Yudhisthira was being convinced of this naked truth because he was greatly overwhelmed by the sadly past of his old uncles and aunt. Maharaj Yudhisthira was placed in that position according to his past deeds. He had already suffered or enjoyed the benefits accrued to him in the past, but due to his good luck, somehow or the other, he had a good younger brother, Vidura, and by his instruction he left to achieve salvation by exposing all accounts in the material world. Ordinarily, one cannot change the course of one's due happiness and distress by plan. Everyone has to accept them as they come under the subtle arrangement of kala, or invincible time. There is no use trying to counteract them. The best thing is, therefore, that one should endeavor to achieve salvation, and this prerogative is given only to man because of his developed condition of mental activities and intelligence. Only for man are there different Vedic instructions for attainment of salvation during the human form of existence. One who misuses this opportunity of advanced intelligence is verily condemned and put into different types of miseries, either in his present life or in the future. That is the way the Supreme controls everyone. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shirosari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The first line of this purport, obviously the translation, it explains how the Supreme Personality of Godhead controls all living entities through his subtle form of time. And Srila Prabhupada opens the purport by explaining how every living being, either in this material world and the spiritual world, is under the control of the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So right from the topmost person in this universe, the Brahmaji, down to the insignificant ant, we are all controlled somehow or the other by the Supreme Lord. Our activities, our sensual activities, are carried out and they are manifested due to our interactions of the modes of material nature, and they are quickly put into action through the agency of time. So it has become very obvious to Maharaj Yudhisthira that over this time period, this time factor of Krishna, his uncle and his aunt are being moved in a certain direction by the will of Krishna. Krishna appears in a subtle form of time to show that indeed he controls. He is that subtle manifestation, and he is controlling that element. He is the controlling element, time. So Yudhisthira Maharaj is just coming to that awakening state. Whether we, as Prabhupada said, we are put or placed in and removed from certain positions in this material world by the Lord, and we are placed in different species of life, placed in different situations by the supreme will of the Lord, and that supreme will, of course, is time. So time carries us up to the higher planetary systems, it carries us down to the lower planetary systems, it carries us back again to the earth planet, where we can enact our activities. So we can remember in Bhagavad Gita how Arjuna was posing different reasons why he didn't want to fight. And Krishna, in the end, after Krishna counteracts Arjuna's reasons for compassion, not wanting to approve simple activity, indecision, fear of simple activities, enjoyment, and not wanting the society to be degraded, the mundanity to be degraded,
Krishna sees the entire Bhagavad Gita, giving him different ways for Arjuna to see that actually everything has already been ordained by Krishna in this aspect of time, and it is up to him to either take part in an instrument in Krishna's instruction, whether Arjuna is going to fight or not. The time factor would wait for no one on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and all these different soldiers would have been killed anyway. So Krishna was showing Arjuna that I'm already creating, maintaining, and destroying by this potency of mine called the time, and there's nothing anyone can do to actually stop that action. This is what happens in the material world, that we come and go. We have past, present, and future, and it is because of that that everything is being diminished. All different aspects, all different qualities are being diminished by Krishna's time factor. So Arjuna, of course, was showing this great quality of a Vaishnava, that he did not want to harm anyone, he did not want to fight. But Krishna made a point to Arjuna that, you know, I come here for a certain reason. You know, I'm coming here to annihilate these miscreants who have assembled on the earth planet and causing or inflicting pain on the different devotees of the Lord. So Krishna interjects and tells Arjuna, yada yada hi dharmasya, that I've come here to reestablish principles of dharma. And I'm coming here to reestablish religion, give pleasure to my devotees, and get rid of the demons, demonic mentality. So Krishna had this plan, and Krishna's plan cannot be checked. We cannot defeat time, no matter how powerful we might think we are. Srila Prabhupada gives the example here of the different personalities. He even mentions the different devatas, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Varuna, even mentions Maharaj Yudhisthira, and then in our modern day, you know, Gandhi, Napoleon, Alexander, all these so-called great personalities, Stalin, Hitler, you name them all. They have come and they have gone through Krishna's time factor that takes away their so-called sense enjoyment. So Krishna places them in a certain situation and then removes them. It is just a matter of time. So when Krishna was explaining this to Arjuna, how his time factor is working, there's mention just in the beginning, actually, of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, Srila Prabhupada mentions six aggressors and how one should defend himself and how one should protect himself against these six aggressors. And it is actually bona fide to get rid of such aggressors. And if we look at the entire battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Kauravas had actually perfected these aggressive situations. Right? Giving poison to the Pandavas, setting fire to their house, plundering the land, plundering their riches, occupying their land, their kingdom, and attacking with deadly weapons. As we understand how they had released the Brahmastras to try and get rid of any trace of the Pandavas dynasty. So the aggressive mentality of the Kauravas had been perfected because they had actually performed all these sinful activities. And therefore Krishna was saying to Arjuna, you know, this has happened to your entire dynasty, therefore you must act. It is your duty as a Kshatriya. And to purify that mentality, you fight and you think of me. And Arjuna was saintly in character. What to speak of Yudhisthira Maharaj, what to speak of all the other members, Queen Kunti, all the other members of the Pandavas. But Krishna, as the supreme mediator and the supreme controller, gave instructions to Arjuna to fight and think of him. So whatever Krishna, any words that come from Krishna is perfect. So any situation that Krishna arranges, it is actually perfect. And Krishna doesn't make mistakes.
Krishna does not have a material body. Part of having a material body is that we are afflicted into making mistakes, being illusioned, cheating others, and of course we have imperfect senses. So Krishna is not like that. So whatever situation Krishna puts forward, it is actually perfect. So further on in the Prabhupada, Prabhupada explains how a jiva is never independent. Right? All living beings were actually functioning under Krishna's supreme mercy. And again, we are moved by Krishna's order. Whether we choose to serve the material or the external energy of Krishna, or whether we are directly in touch with Krishna's internal potency, we are never independent. We have this free will, of course, to act, to choose differently, but to try and survive and to try and live independently of Krishna, it is impossible for the living entity. We have that independence, of course, to choose, and we see this. Krishna makes that point again in Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, where he tells Arjuna, "Nitite jnanam akhyatmam guhya guhya taram maya," that he has explained to Arjuna even more confidential knowledge about existence in this material world. And vimshriyaitad asasena ethe chasi tatakuru, that now Arjuna, or Chalvakurus, now you can deliberate on what I've told you. You can make that decision. You can decide and act as you desire. Whatever you like now, it is up to you. And then, of course, Arjuna, coming back to his senses, understood that Krishna is the supreme controller. Nasto mahan smriti labha tvat prasada madhusudhana kavisya vachanam tava. But Arjuna replied that, okay, fine, now I shall fight. I've deliberated, I've thought about everything you have said, and I've understood that I'm meant to serve the master of the senses. I'm meant to serve Rishikesh, right? Rishikena, Rishikesa, Sinam Bhakti, Uchate. That our senses become enlivened, or our senses come to real life actually once we get them in contact with the master of all the senses, and that is Rishikesh Krishna. So this devotional service means we act according to Krishna's plans, we act according to Krishna's desires. So acceptance of Krishna's instruction through his bona fide medium, the spiritual master, the saintly devotee, is very important. So we have the saintly section where Vidura is speaking, we have instructions given by Uddhava, we have instructions that have been given to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. So these instructions are given by Krishna to his disciples coming through the disciplic succession, and we're meant to accept those instructions as supreme. One very important, something that really stood out, Prabhupada mentions at the end of the first paragraph, the last line, Prabhupada says, we have to achieve salvation by closing all accounts in the material world. I don't know how many of us here have bank accounts. How many people have bank accounts? Yeah. Amazing. I haven't had a bank account in 9 years. Anyway, so if you can just try and understand that we have so many things going on in the material world. You know, we have account with Myers, we have with, you know, Flight Center, we have for Cold, this account, that account, you know, whatever. There's so many accounts. Not to your wife, to your husband, your parents, you know, you're doing so much stuff. And Krishna here says, if you want to attain salvation, close them all.
get rid of it all. Because that means we break up, we break this tight knot of affection to all these material situations. Because in the end, we have such great attachment to material situations. We have embraced the material energy for so long, right? Going up and down in this Brahmanda, taking on different bodies, taking on different identities. So naturally, our identification with matter, it is great. And we hold the material energy very close to the heart. We treat the material energy as if it's our very dear self. So that attachment actually has to be broken down, and we have to get rid of all these accounts we have in the material world, because that will stop us from embracing Krishna's instructions. We can't do it from a gross point of view, you know, we don't reside here or there, we don't own a house, we don't own any property, we don't own any cars, etc. But what are we hanging on to internally? And our subtle ideas, our mental speculation, we might be hanging on to that. Our mental speculation, meaning we make and we propose our plans, and then Krishna has to work accordingly. And sometimes what happens, these are my plans. Now Krishna, you can, in your form of time, you can manifest yourself around my plans. But this is my plan, Krishna, and I want you to work so that this plan will never be disturbed. You can do everything else in terms of making arrangements for me, but my life's mission should be untouched. You should facilitate them. But bhakti does not work like that. We know Krishna has given his instructions that we work for him, and we think of him, man mana pava man pavdo, jajimam namaskuru. That we're thinking of him, we're offering our obeisances unto him. We offer everything, our entire homage, our sacrifices are offered to Krishna. So failure to do so actually shows a hint that we're actually still hanging on to certain things. We're still hanging on to some accounts in the material world. We're still hanging on to some arrangements in the material world. But as we see here with Dhritarashtra, he was hanging on to some account, some name, fame, prestige, in a very deplorable situation, in a very embarrassing situation, living with the persons who just annihilated your entire children, and everyone knowing the unspoken truth that from the time of birth, your children have been trying to annihilate their cousins and to usurp the kingdom. So he was living in that situation. And Vidura very boldly came to expose the reality. This is what you've been doing. You're living like a dog. This is how you turn out to be. Now you cut off all these different situations and just try to take salvation. So Dhritarashtra is showing us at some point you just gotta give it all up and focus on getting rid of these attachments. But we have to slowly understand what it means to actually close all accounts in the world. That means we do not try to make any plans to live comfortably in this world. We get rid of that mentality. We are going to be removed anyway from this material world. So why not just go with a clean slate? Just annihilate everything else. No attachments, no karmic reactions, no fruit of mentality, no mental speculation. Devotional service can actually annihilate this mentality. So we have to cut out all these impediments which do not allow us to access pure bhakti. You understand, pure bhakti has to be free from mental speculation. It has to be free of desire for fruit of mentality. It has to be free of yogic mystic perfections. pure bhakti has to be free from all those things. So we have to get rid of that type of mentality. So for a devotee who tries intensely, not saying that devotees are not, we are aloof from time. You know, being in the material world means you have to accept certain things. Having a material body means you take birth, you're sure to die. And the body is going to die at some point. So even as an aspiring servant, we have to understand how this karma factor is working, how time is working. And Prabhupada says we shouldn't try to counteract time. We can't. Time is there, it's past, present, the future. This is how it acts. We can't counteract it. But if we use our intelligence as human beings, if we engage our mental activities, our intelligence, by understanding Krishna's instructions, actually we can escape this material time and go to the spiritual realm where time is inconspicuous by its absence. So we can go to a place where we will not have past, present, and future, which means we will not have any duality, no material body, no karma. There's no use in trying to fight against time. Old age is coming. How are you trying to fight against that? Creams, potions, lotions, Botoxes, nip tucks. We're trying to counteract the action of time through our senses. So we're trying to make sure that, you know, our wrinkles are not coming. We're trying to make sure that our parts are not sagging. We're trying to fight and counteract time, but there's no point because Krishna says that he removes us through this subtle aspect of time. We're going to be removed and placed somewhere else anyway. So there's actually no point trying to fight against the impact of time. Time acts, time waits for no one. Just like death comes for everyone. So it's very important for us to understand that Krishna is invincible time. He acts in a very subtle way. And because we have this human form of life, we should endeavor to achieve salvation. We should endeavor to achieve our eternal relationship as a pure spark or the pure servant of Krishna. And in that way, we will not be put under the rigorous laws of material nature, birth after birth. We can escape this material time, no matter how small or how great we are. As it mentions in the beginning, Lord Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Varuna, everyone will be placed in different situations under this invincible time. So by practice, by steady practice of devotional service, we can actually use this human form of life for what it is meant to be used for attaining salvation. So this time factor is spoken about in the third canto by Maitreya Rishi. He says, Guna Vyatakara Karo Hiruseshu Patishtita Parishasthar Upadanam Atmana Vinaya Svayat. That eternal time is the primal source of interaction with the three modes of material nature. It is unchangeable, timeless, and it works as the instrument of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for pastimes in material creation. So the time factor is working under Krishna's instruction in material creation between the modes of material nature and the desires of the living entity. This is how karma works. In the spiritual world, it is another thing. There's no interaction with the modes of material nature. There's no matter in the spiritual dimension. So the external energy is working under time, and it is moving us along from one planet to the other, from one body to the other.
So this impersonal time factor, or this background, time is like the background of material nature and expansion of the Supreme Lord, and the basic measurement of activities of our senses by which we calculate past, present, and future. So this is how time works. We create our past, we create our present and our future. And invisible time is like a catalyst that moves things along. So just as Vidura has been explaining to his uncle that, you know, time will not wait for you. Before you get annihilated, you should try and seek out salvation. So Yudhisthira Maharaj was seemingly in a distraught condition, not knowing where his two uncles were, and he had this realization that yes, this time factor is moving. Krishna is the supreme controller, and he moves the living entities according to their desires, and according to his will, he places them in different situations. So if we show Krishna that we are willing to work beyond time, we're willing to get out of this cycle of past, present, and future, we'll be given opportunities to actually go beyond past, present, and future and get into more contact with the eternal realm where we're not afflicted to time. So I'll stop here and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions. Okay, please don't go close your bank account right now. You need to pay your bills. You need to maintain your body and soul so you can continue serving Krishna. So closing all accounts in the material world, not in the literal sense, otherwise it will be difficult for us to perform bhakti. It means we close our attachments to being in this material world. So not only an external situation, but an internal understanding that we are not perfectly situated in this world. And the more we try to perfectly situate ourselves in an unnatural situation, there's this tight knot that is created. And at the point of death, it is difficult to actually let go. And the basis of these attachments is the body, the expansions of the body, our family, our nation, our society, expansions of ourselves. You know, we see our children and think, oh, that's like a miniature version of myself. All these different attachments we have. So to close off all these accounts means we close off this hearty relationship we've had with material existence. We have to cut it. And we have to solely focus on serving Krishna. Now, serving Krishna, Krishna's devotees, Krishna in his deity form, you know, this is what we have to focus on. And when that is our focus, it is easy for us to actually live in this material. Not easy, but we can actually know what the science of living in the material world is. So to break off these accounts in the material world means we break off all these insignificant, infinitesimal, all these non-important things that we've put so dear to us, we have to let them go. We have to get rid of them. They're actually not that important. Having five cars is not that important. Nothing, they're not going to help you go to Vaikuntha or Goloka. They can't do it. Your last name is not going to, if your last name is Kumar, or Shankar, or Mitra, or Bharat, that's not going to help you. So all these so-called bonds that we've created with the material energy, with material time factor, with our body senses, it is all external. And it's not that important. So we have to close these things down and focus on Krishna. So we close all our attachments to the material world and focus on giving pleasure to Krishna. Now you can do that as a student, as a working person. It doesn't mean you have to quit your job or you have to stop working. You have to give away all your money. It just means you know what the prime focus of life is. And anything that falls short of that or anything that obstructs that is not actually going to help our Krishna consciousness in the long run. We shouldn't just think short term, but we should think in the long run, how will this help my devotional service? And anything that doesn't help our devotional service, the Acharyas have given statement that we should reject these things. They will tie us further to being in the material world.
Like, what's wrong in that if I think, you know, through certain businesses I can earn more? And, you know, if I earn more in short time, you know, I then you can have that for Krishna's service. So I can fulfill, you know, both the things. You know,
who said you have plenty of time left in Krishna's service? How do you know? You don't know.
Okay.
So the thing is, sometimes they say, I will do it when I'm older. Right? This is how the external, and this is how Maya works. Oh, no, you're young, you're youthful, just give it all your best, you know, expand your business. But at what expense? What's the cost of that? How is your devotional service? You're putting in more hours, more time at the workplace, you're focusing all your energies there, and your devotional service slumps. And we have no guarantee that we're going to be around for another 5 years. There's no guarantee. So spiritual life, Krishna Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj would say, it cannot wait. Krishna consciousness cannot wait. We have to act in such a way that our Krishna consciousness is never jeopardized. Whatever situation we get into, we have to make sure that our Krishna consciousness will not decrease. So if you can maintain a business, if you can make more money, but at the same time still perform your devotional service, use that money in service to Krishna, under guidance of, you know, some senior practitioners of Krishna consciousness, then you are safe. You should always take guidance before we make any major decisions. So there's nothing wrong with having a business as long as it doesn't take us away from our prime focus in life, which is our Krishna consciousness. Our hearing and our chanting is very important. Yes, Rosa?
I was thinking close to the bank account, so this material world, that's my opinion, and I'm really believing it. It's also, you know, how we have exploiting mentality.
Mm.
You know, Krishna gives us intelligence, gives us this, but what we usually do is usually use it to exploit others.
Mm.
You see, oh, this one I will use, I take advantage of this, I take advantage of this, that means me, and mine.
Mm.
And when we do like that, we create, we take from others so much for our pleasure, for our sanctification, for our advancement, for so many things.
Mm.
And we create debts towards them. Because you cannot live on taking advantage from the others. And then closing bank accounts means also whoever we have hurt, we have to make it even.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have seen that even a little bit thing I said, you know, like once I was doing the Prasharanthi temple for Jaimashtami, and we were told not anyone to say, one person said. And he said, no, you, and I said, I'm sorry, you cannot say. And then I wanted to take Prasharanthi afterwards, you know. And it says, no, sorry, you can't take. And then I realized, you know, it's not mine to say no to this one, no to that one. We really have to be kind to each other and forget about ourselves. We should not have exploiting mentality. What's there here for me? And we are all the time thinking of that without being conscious of it. We should think, how can I help this person? what can I do? We should forget about ourselves, okay? It's not that we should forget about ourselves and being, we should do that with intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not, I don't know, we
no,
have
to
use intelligence.
Yeah. We have to use intelligence. That is true. Getting rid, because if we get rid of our selfish mentality, automatically it means we are thinking about the welfare of others. So we're not trying to exploit others to get something in return. We're not acting to get recognition. We're not acting to be able to expand our name, fame, prestige, etc. And there's one verse, the residents of Jungle Beach offer prayers to the Lord. It's also quoted by Prahlad Maharaj that he's urging living entities to take onto the practice of devotional service, because by doing that, one can think about the welfare of all living entities. And when you think about the welfare of all living entities, how can you possibly have an exploitative mentality? How can you have a fruitive mentality? So by becoming selfless, real selflessness actually begins by understanding everyone is a part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone is connected to Krishna, and we should act in such a way that we try to help others remember that. So becoming more giving of Krishna and less of mentality of just taking, taking, taking all the time, that produces a fruitive mentality. And if you continue to do that, we're performing in bhakti in the modes of mature nature. It's mixed. There's bhakti in the mode of passion, goodness, and ignorance. So yeah, that's a wonderful point. We have to be thinking of others. And in that way, you won't be offensive, you won't blaspheme, you won't be violent to other living entities. We'll understand they are actually part and parcel of Krishna. Equally as important. Thank you. Okay, Gautama Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Yeah.